The Sermons of the Reverend Robert Murray Machiney. Sermon 84. As the heart panteth. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Psalms 42, verse 1. These are supposed to be the words of David when he fled from his son Absalom. It seems to have been wandering in some solitary wild on the side of Mount Hermon, the stream of Jordan flowing at his feet. David seems to have been full of pensive meditation, for his enemies reproached him daily, saying, Where is thy God? Nay, even God seemed to forget him. All his waves and billows were going over him, when suddenly a deer bounded past him. It had been sore wounded by the archers, or pursued by some wild beast on the mountains of the leopards. Faint and weary, he saw it rushing towards the flowing stream, and quenching its thirst in the water brook. His soul was quickened by the sight. Is not this just a picture of what I should be? Is not my God to me all that the flowing stream is to that wounded deer? As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I do hope that many of you have come up this day with the same panting desire in your bosom. None but gracious souls can pant after God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. As the lodestone attracts nothing but what is made of steel to itself, so an uplifted Savior, God manifested in the flesh, draws nothing but what is awakened by his own Spirit to him. May God enable me to show you shortly some of the reasons why the believer pants after God. Section 1. The burden of sin makes the soul pant after God. Number 1. Awakened souls, those who feel no burden, do not pant after Christ. Number 1. The full soul loathes the honeycomb. Christ is the honeycomb which God has provided for poor sinners. The sweetest honey is to be found in the clefts of that rock, but unawakened persons are full of peace, full of business, full of pleasure. They have no desire after Christ. They loathe the honeycomb. Number 2. Unawakened persons are dead in trespasses and sins. They are as dead to Christ and eternal things as the dead in the churchyard are to the things of the world. The dead bodies in the churchyard are at present within the reach of the preacher's voice. If they could look up out of their graves, they would see the table spread with the bread and wine, and yet when we speak, they do not hear. They do not weep. The bosoms do not pant. They do not rise and come. Dear friends, the dead souls within the church are just as dead as they. You too are within the reach of the preacher's voice. You too can see Christ evidently set forth crucified, yet you have no desire after Christ. Your eyes weep not, your bosoms pant not. You have no heart longings after Christ. Number 3. When Israel was in the land of Egypt, they had leeks and onions and garlic. They sat by the flesh pots and did eat bread to the full. They did not cry for manna. They did not seek water out of the flinty rock. So it is with those of you who are awakened. You have got the leeks and the onions of this world's pleasures and profits and diversions, and you care not for Christ, the bread of life. You do not pant after forgiveness and a new birth. You have no heart longings for the living water, or which, if a man drink, you shall never thirst again. Number 2. Many awakened persons do not pant after Christ. There are some who feel like the deer stricken by the archers, but they think they can pull out the arrows and heal their own wounds. Number 1. When Naaman the Syrian came to Elisha, he felt his loathsome disease and longed to be cured. But when the prophet told him, Go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thou shalt be clean, he did not believe God's words. Are not Abani and Pharpar, Pharpar, rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. So do many awakened souls among you. You are made to feel your loathsome disease. You sometimes tremble for fear of hell. But when we tell you of Christ's blood cleansing from all sin, you go away in a rage. Number 2. When the flood came upon the earth, when the rain fell 40 days, and the bowels of the great deep were broken up, I doubt not there were great pantings of heart. Many fled from the wrath to come. Some fled to the top of snowy Lebanon, some to the peaks of Ararat. But Noah only believed God's word and entered into the ark. So many of you tremble about your souls, who yet are not believing God's word and not panting after Christ. Ye will not come to me, that ye may have life. Number 3. When Christ shall come in the clouds of heaven, it is said, all kingdoms of the world shall wail because of him. There will not be one unawakened person in earth or in hell. Not the proudest and deadest of you will keep from trembling in that day. But it is only those who believe his word that will flee under his wings. Dear friends, it is not enough that you are awakened about your souls. You must be fleeing to Christ. Yea, you must be in Christ before you are safe. Number 3. All who are taught of God long after Christ. Everyone that hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. When a sinner is convinced by God that his sins are a burden heavier than he can bear, that if he die they will crush him into an eternal hell, when convinced that God hath provided a lamb for a burnt offering, that this lamb is free to all, he rushes through the crowd. Others may keep back, but he cannot. He places both his hands on the head of the divine lamb and says, My Lord and my God, this God is my God forever and ever. He will be my guide even unto death. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. If there is any of you convinced that you are perishing, that life is like a great city with walls, that you are outside in the storm of wrath about to fall on you, has God also convinced you that Christ is the only gate into the city, the straight gate, and yet wide enough to admit any sinner in all the world? Ah, then I know you will strive to enter it, and you will agonize. You will not rest day or night. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. If there is any of you convinced that sin is a mortal disease, that all other physicians are vain, that Christ is passing through the midst of us full of virtue to heal, I know you will press forward, whatever others do. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I would now invite panting souls to close with Christ. It is a sad truth that most of the Christians in our day are rather coming to Christ than come to Christ. Most of you are like the manslayer running towards a city of refuge rather than when he sits down within the gates. Oh, if you feel condemned in yourself and that God has provided a free surety for sinners, why will you not rest your souls upon his finished work? Why will you go round and round the city of refuge and not enter in? This holy ordinance is intended to teach you appropriating faith, no more to waver, but to put out the hand of faith and close with Jesus. You do not come to look at bread and wine, but to take it. Take, eat, O panting souls. May God give you light at the same moment to venture on Christ and say, This God is my God forever and ever. Section 2. Desire of holiness makes the soul pant after God. Number 1. Unconverted persons have no desire for holiness, and therefore they do not pant after God or Christ. Indeed, this is the chief reason why poor sinners do not come to Christ. They know that if they came to Christ, they would get a new heart. They would bid an eternal farewell to their old companions and pleasures. But most people would rather go to hell than this. When a few Greenlanders were brought into this country, they saw no beauty in the rich cornfields and woods and plains. They asked for their fields of snow and the mountains of ice glancing in the sun. When they came into their houses, they could not endure the cleanness of them. They greatly preferred their own smoky, filthy cabins. So it is with those of you who are converted. You have grown up with your hearts frozen to God and to the divine things. And when you come to see the heart of a Christian like a garden, with the river of life flowing through it, and beautiful flowers of meekness, love, and holiness growing in it, you cannot bear this sight. You love your own frozen heart better. When you see the clean heart of a child of God, you say, I had rather have my own filthy one. Ah, this is the way with most. You do not long to be made holy. You have no panting after a new birth. It needs grace to desire grace. You do not desire to be made a new creature. You had rather remain in the image of the devil than be changed into the image of God. You are like Jerusalem. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? Number 2. But all saved souls pant after holiness. As the hearth panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Number 1. When a soul comes to close with Christ, he is not made perfectly whole at once. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. Just as you have seen the day struggling with the darkness, then with clouds, till the sun bursts forth in the meridian splendor, so it is with the holiness of Christians. Just as in the richest lands, after the deepest plowing, weeds shall still grow up amongst the corn, so many roots of bitterness remain in the believer's heart. Paul thanked God for the grace that was given to the Corinthians, and they came behind in no gift. And yet, he says, they had strife and envy and divisions, so he could not call them spiritual but carnal. So it is with every Christian heart. Weeds grow up in the best cultivated gardens. There is enough in Christ to supply all our needs. It is our own fault that we are not holy as God is holy. It is not in Christ, but in ourselves, and we are straitened. The shower of grace is plenty enough and more than enough, but we do not open our mouth wide. Number 2. But every soul in Christ hates sin, pants after holiness. Nothing makes him pant more after God than corruption striving within. Paul never prayed more earnestly than when he had the thorn in his flesh. The thorn in the flesh makes us pant after God. When a vessel is left by the tide lying dry upon the sand, it cannot be moved. It is a helpless log. The mariners may try to draw it with ropes, but it only sinks deeper in the sand. They can do nothing but long for the tide, and it may again be lifted upon the waves and sail into the harbor. So it is with a Christian. You are often like a vessel on the sand. You cannot move. You attempt duties, but it is heavy work. Without Christ, you can do nothing. You wait and pant after Christ for the full tide of the Spirit to lift your soul above the waves and carry you prosperously on towards the heavenly harbor. Let me invite weary souls to come to Christ this day. Some of you are feeling the thorn in the flesh, and you are praying that it may depart from you. Some of you feel like the criminal who was chained to a dead body. You feel your loathsome body of sin. You cry, O wretched man. Some of you are like the deer that has been wounded by the lion and trembles at his roaring. You have been wounded by Satan, and you tremble to hear his roar. Come you to Jesus. He will give you rest. O panting soul, close with Christ, feed upon Christ. Without him, you can do nothing. Through Christ strengthening you, you may do all things. This ordinance is intended to teach you to feed on Jesus. You do not only look to the bread or handle it. You eat, you drink. You come into personal union with Christ. O longing soul, he will be your strength. God is our refuge and our strength. Section 3. Desolationness makes the soul pant after God. Number 1. Believers never shall be desolate. It is contrary to the promise. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Christ is always the same. His righteousness is as perfect one day as another. If you are clothed in that righteousness, your peace shall be like a river. It is very dishonoring to Christ for believers to be going bowed down all the day long. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Number 2. Still I fear some of you can bear witness that the believer is sometimes very desolate. The moon does not always shine in a cloudless sky. The ships do not always sail on a waveless sea. The believer does not always walk in the smile of his Father. Number 1. Our providences sometimes cause it when they come unexpectedly upon us, when we cannot see God's meaning in them, when we suspect his love and fall into darkness. So Job, let the day perish within wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, a man-child is conceived. Number 2. Sin omitted into the heart is the most common cause. God is a jealous God. So Israel, she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Number 3. The desolate soul pants after God. So it was with Job. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. So it was with the bride. I will rise now and go about the city in the street and in the broad ways. So David, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. When a child that has been tenderly brought up, that has been warmly clad and comfortably fed and cared for by a gentle mother's hand, when that child is turned out on the cold world, oh, it is bitter indeed. Oh, for my father's roof. Oh, for my mother's smile. So it is with a child of light walking in the darkness. Invite desolate souls to come to God, the living God. Some of you may be feeling like a ship tossed on a stormy sea. Deep calls unto deep, and the noise of God's water spouts, all the waves and billows are breaking over you. Be persuaded to close with Christ, freely offered to you. Put away entirely the question as to whether you ever believed before. Believe now. This ordinance is peculiarly fitted for you. You say you cannot realize a Savior. Well, here he is set forth plainly in bread and wine. This is my body broken for you. You say, but how shall I know he is a Savior to me? See here, the bread is freely offered. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You say, how do I know that he is still offered to me? I answered, yet there is room. Here is bread enough and to spare. You say, but may I really choose close with him? I answer, take, eat, O panting soul, come under his wings. The Spirit and the bride says, come. Dundee, November 4th, 1838. Action Sermon. End of Sermon 34.